Welcome, welcome back to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboo topics around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality, and dive deep into the shadow. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our consciousness and embrace our shadows, bringing us more fully into the light. And today, I'm so excited. We are joined by the incredibly multi-talented artist Sven Ra, a lifelong poet, erotic artist, and visionary. With hundreds of pages of poetry to his name and several complete works, Sven has taken his creative expression to new heights by merging the worlds of erotic art and poetic essence. His captivating work has been showcased in fine art shows and even inspired an entire erotic tarot deck, which is incredible, by the way. Have to check it out. Beyond the canvas, Sven is trained with leading teachers of Tantra, Qigong, and yogic arts, and has designed the ultimate tantric massage experience. We're excited to dive into his journey of blending art, sensuality, and spirituality. And it's just an honor that you're also a part of our private WhatsApp community. And that's how we actually got connected to him. So without further ado, welcome onto the show, Sven. We're really excited to dive into this last week's discussion of sex magic with you.
I am really happy to be here. Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, and I just want to start by asking this question to you because we've had a lot of tantric teachers and mostly all women actually around this topic sharing around sex magic and kind of the ritual of it, how to practice it, what you can manifest, all these types of things. And I just feel like intuitively, like you might have a different, some different codes and understandings around sexual magic. And so I would just like to start with that question of what is sex magic to you, and how might you have a little bit of a different perspective or angle on it?
It's, I could go through my history. That might be interesting because I've been through different traditions, but I think one of the conversations we had with was early in the work of Penny Slinger and some of these different tantric art things, and there and I started kind of these Qigong traditions, and there was this really strong sense of polarity, polarity being the central principle to the organization of the universe and this sort of union of opposites that can happen. And realizing as much of that as possible internally, it can be through external things, but there's also just this internal alchemy that can kind of go on. So a lot of the very early things that to me were extremely sexual, but were not really physical in the normal sense of that kind of came as part of these traditions. And then later on, you kind of see what other people out there are doing. And I also had a really incredible time just kind of studying Glastonbury with some of the people who were there and doing various types of, priestess trainings that are kind of related to some of these art forms. And there was, I was often surrounded by entirely women in these kind of settings, to go into the Inanna and the Magdalene and all these different kind of energies, which often are the case of very strong historical wounds as well, because the people who practice these art forms often have been kind of persecuted through history. So I think there's a sense in which I have developed a kind of sensitivity as well to that, because I think it's kind of a collective pain that we all share to a certain degree, and maybe it's something that we all at some level want to, move past, but then there's all these larger forces in society that sometimes trap us in kind of old patterns. So there's a lot to unpack there, because I think the core of a lot of what we do does come from our sexuality, our feeling of safety, where we feel safe, where we can feel perfectly expressive. But at the same time, there's like this crazy, but this manifests in our society, it manifests very clearly in history when different people who are being very expressive then are suddenly shut down. And, in the extreme version of that, people are killed or, persecuted in various ways. So I think we all kind of know that there's a sort of collective trauma around that. But There are some people who I would say, you know, I was looking back like male role models for me, and you know, certain people do come up very strongly. You know, for example, Giordano Bruno always came up when people are doing kind of different sort of, I guess you could say readings, but you know, there's these figures in history that stood very powerfully and clearly against some of these, you know, methods of oppression. And said, guys, we don't even live, Earth is not the center of the solar system. Earth, there's all these stars. Like, look out. Like, look what else might be out there. You know, I think he was also the first person to talk about the multiverse and really like expanding our sense of what's possible, and being very, you know, confrontational about it. And I think that's something that I'm realizing myself is that, you know, sometimes you can be part of an underground scene that is very deep and very deeply rooted, but there are, you know, powers in this world that are very hostile to this. And sometimes you just have to stand up and kind of call them out. And I think that's really, you know, one of the things that is a growing opportunity for me as well, is the more, you know, forceful version of the masculine, I guess you could say.
I love this. I feel like you kind of answered this question that I was going to ask around what's next, you know, and it's like you use the word call them out, and I feel like there's this, we're at a point, a pivotal point in the collective, an expansion of consciousness of taking responsibility and saying like, hey, this is here, but what is next? What do we want? What do we want to call in? And there is this middle ground of standing our ground and standing up for what we believe in. And yeah, I'm just curious if you've encountered like what your encounters have been like with these energies personally, if you could like dive in into a little bit more of a micro explanation, I would love to unpack some of that.
When you say which energies do you mean when you ask the question?
This opposition, right? Like, and I'm so grateful that you're speaking into the shadow because, like Elfina said, our guests have been A, female, and B, predominantly focusing on like the sex magic practices and how to use them and how to use them to manifest. And it's very much been in the light. And I feel like the direction of this conversation is going more into the shadow, and I'm into it, I'm totally into it. Thumbs up. Yeah. I love that. In that exact moment, the thumbs up emoji comes up. So yeah, I would love to know more about your particular experience working with the shadow in these spaces and how you've met it, how you've handled it, how you've moved with it, how you've communicated with it, what that's looked like. Does that make more sense?
Absolutely. Maybe I'll try to illustrate some of this from my own deck since I have it sitting here, and it is a kind of major theme that goes throughout this. And I think, you know, one really heavy element that is that, you know, we think of ourselves sometimes as individuals, but you know, we are have a lot of collective energy going on, whether it's ancestral or family or just our society and programming and, you know, gut bacteria and all these things. And so it takes a lot of work, frankly, to really get to the core of what's really driving us and really find out what is the most individual kind of part of that. You know, like we're even talking about some really deep, very significant kind of collective trauma that have been part of humanity more or less since the beginning, you know, since apes were like clubbing each other over the head, you know, for scarce resources. So it's kind of really deeply ingrained. And I think one of the things that I have found, you know, most helpful is these kind of settings. I mean, I once had a BDSM therapist, and she said, Joel, I really can't actually advise you at all because what you do is not BDSM, it's more like theater. And I would love to be at your events around the things you're doing, but it's very different, you know? But there is this kind of role play that goes very deep, in particularly in the theater world, where you know it's like mask therapy. You put on different masks. You effectively embody something when you're doing that, and people do that, you know, at festivals when they go out and put on a different set of outfit, feel how it makes you feel, the fashion, you know, the kind of sexy, you know, clothing, whatever it is that is there. But it's also really a deeply kind of therapeutic art form when you get into it. And I think one of the really deep, I mean, it's a harder form of empathy, but it's a really deep form of empathy when you can really go and put yourself in the shoes of another person. So you can be on kind of both sides of I mean, every historical event, even the ones where it's very clearly someone's doing the right thing and the wrong thing, there's a sort of a, set of emotions that's around those things. There's a reason. There's this kind of like complex machinery that is like, when you really dig into it, you want to understand why did that person think that that was okay, right? People are still asking us about Hitler. Why did all these people just go along with it? And for that matter, what motivated him to do these horrific things in the first place? So once you really start digging into those, it's kind of usually kind of unsettling and unpleasant. But I think that's where kind of like the deeper shadow, in a way, lies in humanity. I have a kind of interesting shadow work card in this deck, so I'll just bring it up now. It's the third one in the kind of illumination sequence. So overall, this is really about illumination and having more light in our lives and that kind of thing. But the sort of interesting enough, there's kind of a poem. We talked about poetry that actually kind of goes along with it. I have a lot of poems that are part of the deck. Some of them are in the guidebook. Some of them are actually not. Because there's so many of them. But if this one, I don't know if you can see very clearly, but there's a hat that this person is wearing in the shape of a pyramid as well. And these were kind of limited edition hats that were made for Burning Man, which is partially, where this deck started. And I also brought a pyramid to Burning Man, and it's kind of been there quite a few times. A lot of people have seen it. But the kind of there's this kind of concept that goes back to the Egyptian mysteries in the underworld is that sometimes you need to go in a tomb, a coffin, and kind of like, basically these rituals are done where you are basically literally embodying death. And that is, an underworld journey. It's a very kind of classic motif. It's in this, Orpheus kind of myth and all of that. So this it's goes very, very deep that we kind of have to look into all the past and all the things we want to forget about and kind of bring them to the surface. And that's going to be a little bit different for each person. And I think that it has a physical element as well. So I am, even though this is obviously a deck and it's used for kind of inspirational, and I'm very into the physical, the physical embodied form of kind of therapy, because I think somatically people can hold a lot of this tension as well in their body and not realize it. And one thing that was very coherent for me, in a way, is a form of shadow work, is working with some kind of body workers. And they were encouraging me to explicitly ask for touch in regions, to be very vocal about what kind of touch I wanted, and have touch in regions where I wouldn't normally ask for touch. And a lot of people are very nervous about asking for erotic touch, and I think maybe even more so for women, because they're often approached for someone else, is going to be approaching you and kind of saying, trying to take something from you, want something very specific from you. So there's this aspect of vocalizing what exactly feels right in this particular moment. And when I did this, something very surprising happened. I found that I had all these kind of regions really in the hip girdle for the most part, or kind of inner groin, that were just kind of really tense and just like holding on to something. They weren't really like, it wasn't really clear exactly, what was there, because it was just kind of in those middle areas where they're not really sexual per se, but they also don't really get touched. They're just kind of like neglected, and I think that's one of these interesting things where it's like there's the shadow, it's like where no one's looking. It's like underneath, cleaning out your bedroom, and you just kind of like got to move the bed away from the wall and kind of like scrub in that little spot that you normally don't see, but there's all this like dust sitting there, So I think like, there's the like dark side of shadow work, and there's just the kind of like, oops, I didn't think to look there kind of shadow work, and it's all about you. It's fine. I hope that answers your question.
That was fantastic. Yeah, I something that's coming through that actually like connected us. We had posted in the chat and you responded around a post around Carolyn Elliott's work. And I've been diving into that work for a few years now, on and off, kind of, diving into it, forgetting about it, coming back to it, feeling called to it. And there's this concept in her book, just in general, like her book's spectacular and her work is spectacular, but it's like the through line is that shadow work will come to you whether you intentionally want it to or not, right? Like if you intentionally choose shadow work, you have a choice of kind of how you move through the space. But either way, it's showing up in your life through your life. If you look around at things you both like and don't like in your life, that's a manifestation, right? Specifically of the things that you don't like, that's a manifestation of the shadow, right? So I love the concept of just being able to use to look around in our life and say, okay, I don't like this, I don't like that, that's not working, and say, oh, okay, like this actually is a direct line into my subconscious. And from this space, I can get really curious. So I feel like what kept coming through is kind of the one of the foundational, I don't want to say solutions, but like a way that we can move forward collectively into the shadow is through curiosity, right? Like beginning to get curious about why things are happening in our lives, why we don't like things, why continuous patterns keep showing up. I have like multiple sisters in my life who are like, I just keep meeting these men who are A, B, and C, or like I'm consistently meeting infidelity. And I'm like, huh, like, have you gotten curious about that? Like, why is this happening to you? And so as we begin to kind of peel back these layers, there's a lot to unpack, like you said earlier, but it's an exciting and beautiful process to be able to kind of hop back into the driver's seat and say, okay, like I'm going to take control as best I can and see what's here. And yeah, what do you, Elf, what's coming up for you?
Oh, well, just as you're speaking this, a quote from Carl Jung that I know Carolyn likes to use is like, until you basically do the shadow work, the shadow will continue to rule your life and you'll call it fate. It's something along the lines of that. And that just reminds me of the sentiment that you're saying. Like, it's there. It's kind of like the dirty bed analogy that I love that you use, Finn. Like, it's the dust is there and it might turn to mold and it might start to make you really sick. And you might just be like, I'm just getting sick. And you might just call it your fate and your destiny to, that you're sick. And you don't even understand that it's, oh, it's because of the mold and the dirt that has been actually making you sick the whole time. And until you actually move the bed and look at it and clean it, it's going to continue making you sick. It's like, I love that analogy. And every time I move my bed, there is always
You mean
stuff.
your physical bed or your energetic bed?
You know, I try to keep up on my energetic bed as much as possible. But they're definitely connected. I feel like the cl cleaner we become in our intellectual, emotional worlds, the cleaner that I find myself creating in my external reality, it's also connected. So I would love to hear your definition of shadow work, Sven, and like for people listening who are new with this topic, or maybe they've been doing shadow work. How would you describe it, number one? And then how would you applicably use it, like in a day-to-day example of how you would integrate shadow work into your life and what that would look like?
I'm aware of Karen Elliott's work, and we have some mutual friends and the kind of BDSM and other versions of kind of digging in there. But I use analogy from some martial arts stuff that I do as well, where in this particular tradition that I train in, we do a lot of striking. But when you hit someone, basically the reaction when you're on the receiving end of that is a lot of people go into tension, right? You're there, you're kind of there, you kind of get frozen up, and then you're kind of like reactive and the rest of it. And the concept is actually this is the worst thing to do when you're in a fight, because when you go into the state of hypertension, then basically you're less able to flow, you're less able to be actually reactive and kind of proactive in a way. And I think we kind of all have this thing where we become reactive in our mental life, and we go into autopilot and we start doing things, and a lot of relationship patterns and the rest of it can come from this stuff, because we just kind of go into something. if you're into kind of past life work, a lot of people basically said that this kind of stuff can be carried over multiple lifetimes. So you get a certain system of response, and then you kind of, join a particular version of a cult, and you're like, oh, it always feels so great because I was like, it's like the cult. I love this kind of, vibe. It feels like I was here before, but then maybe you didn't actually really achieve anything there. It just was a very cozy thing for you, and you didn't really get to the full, kind of version of that. So there's all of these patterns that are there, and basically, to me, shadow work is anything that allows us to kind of get below the surface and dig in. And usually, it ends up being a bit invasive because it's very uncomfortable by default, and so you need to go into a different way of doing things than you're normally doing them. And many of the beautiful right-handed path people who I love, generally speaking, they're doing meditation or spirituality or like the pretty side of everything. A lot of times, they don't know how to handle the stress of like when someone's about to run you over with a car or something like that. Or I've been in war time. I was bombed recently in the Ukraine. I got to be I had these different. You get these experiences that are highly stressful. How do you react to that? And can you still be at peace in that? And the very specific kind of, let's say, BDSM flavor of that is basically, or the theatrical version, is basically deliberately having you act out a role where you are going to be in a state of discomfort. Potentially in some of these kind of core wounds where it relates to, your sexuality, how you were treated as a child, kind of different types of these kind of things. And then, and this is where it becomes very sensitive and challenging, giving the space for you to actually process and grow and feel, both things. And I think, for example, I said before, empathy is very important, that we grow our empathy, even for people that are clearly doing bad things to themselves and others, and then we also grow the empathy for the parts of ourselves that we're not aware of and the parts of us reactive. But in general, in all of these things, moving out of a reactive state where we go into a point of tension and then we start kind of doing things automatic is almost always bad, basically. It's bad for us, it's bad for our kind of future, it's bad for our health, it's bad for that. So we're basically trying to break ourselves out of these old patterns by doing things that, shake us up a little bit. And that's very classic, like Tantra in a way, is basically putting people in situations that make them, do something a little bit uncomfortable. And for that reason, it's always about uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'd
Yeah.
love to share a story around this that's coming through the specifically kind of the BDSM merging point with sex magic and how I'm just kind of connecting these dots. How like, I mean, I've been connecting them, but I'm feeling like they're really moving to a space of embodiment of like, oh, this is making a lot of sense. Like BDSM is sex magic, right? Like people are going in to heal trauma or to like move some energy and to meet it from a space of power and intention and saying, okay, I get to choose this. And so when I was younger, I was spanked, right? And I feel like this is such a common story. Like daddy spanked me. I was a bad girl. Yeah, it kind of was, it was a wound of the time, of the times, it was the thing that was done. But I just, for years throughout college and my 20s, like I felt so triggered when anyone would even get near my ass. It was like a no zone, right? And I had no idea. This was in the subconscious. This was a shadow. I had no, like, there was no awareness there. And when I started to do shadow work, that came up. Because I, and then I kind of transmuted this fear, this resistance into what ultimately was a desire, right? And this desire, I now got to choose. Like, I got to, sit with a lover or a partner and say, like, oh, I get to choose to be spanked. Like, hey, can you please spank me? And that was so, that process, I think I cried the first time it happened. It was so incredibly healing. So much energy was released from my body through that practice. So I feel like this is one way that we can intentionally work with these energies through our sexual encounters is like, oh, like, where's my shadow? Where's my wound? How can I play with it? Right. Even role playing is like a great example too of like, I think like BDSM or just like, sex magic. That's an alternative shadow work side of sex magic, but that's not like, let me manifest $1 million, which is amazing. But like, what's on the flip side, right? It's like, okay, let's also manifest our healing. Let's manifest a clear, clean conscious. Let's manifest, yeah, peace.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love for you to maybe go more into what you were saying around when you are trying to work with a therapist around BDSM, and you were mentioning that you're more into like this kind of theatrical role-playing experience, and yeah, how those relate to sex magic. Like, how could playing a role and being in a specific part in a sexual way be an alchemical experience?
Yeah, well, the way it came about, like many of the best type of experiences, really through kind of, deep intuition, and this sort of artistic journey. Because when you're doing things in an artistic way, you're kind of like, okay, a little bit of this color, a little bit of this crow, play this music in the background, and kind of creating a mood. And you find people that kind of resonate with that mood. And various points, and most of the things that led me in this direction were kind of just being a blank slate for other people's ideas, and there was some people who had this, for example, like professor, kind of like kink kind of thing, where they wanted to be taught and basically be led in particular things. And in fact, most people was very serious, kind of into the kind of kundalini type things, but they wanted to be in this sort of, transmission, energetic transmission state, but also to have, the sexuality be part of it. And it's amazing in the sense that, this is one of the things that these things allow, basically, is for people to have, full awareness and consent, and kind of basically go in, to exactly kind of what it is that they want for themselves. And I think that the process of kind of verbalizing that is a very healthy one. And some like really interesting things happened. Even from my own side, as I kind of dropped into this, like I've been a poet for a long time, but I have almost never really had my own poetry come in a way where I kind of immediately memorize it, And in this case, it came like while we're doing this kind of kundalini exercises, like a mantra. And it was like, fire, death, hearts, rain, our ecstasy is birth from pain. Deep within our hidden hearts, that's where penetration starts. And it would just come, this wave, and it kind of just hit me, and then it kind of came again, kind of like a mantra that was like kind of needed to be repeated and kind of become energetically embodied.
So
And
hot. Sounds a lot like the Isis invocation, by the way.
oh yeah.
Yeah, there's an original Isis. Well, I tried to find like the oldest texts on Isis invocations, and the one that I found, there's a similar piece in there. It's like, I am heaven, I am hell, I am earth, I am fire, I am water. It doesn't rhyme as beautifully and poetically as you put it, but I'll have to send it to you. It's pretty
Yeah,
fucking
please,
crazy.
please, please.
It's pretty fucking crazy. So you were saying?
Well, I just think some of this stuff really, vibrates at this kind of fundamental level. And then when we open ourselves up, that's where we find, again, it was a form of polarity that I wasn't even expecting necessarily. And then, people find themselves, at least for a period. The nice thing about these things too is you're not like committing to something like for the rest of your life or something like that. You're just saying, for this period, I want to experience what it's like to be in this particular role. And I guess, just intuitively, this sort of, even though maybe I'm more natural in this kind of professorial role, from a kind of, more esoteric side of what that means than in a, more classical academics, setting.
Yeah, this is like reminding me of just the archetypal embodiment, and you wrote it, you created a whole tarot deck, so I'm sure that you're into archetypes, and I intuitively feel like the exploration of embodying these different archetypes just naturally connects us to different shadow parts of ourself that we're not usually connecting to because we're taking on a different character, we're taking on a different role, we're maybe dressing in a different way, we're speaking in a different way, we're moving in a different way, we're acting in a different way. And when we change all of those components of our day-to-day of how we usually act in like a sexy situation, then I'm sure that just naturally it creates more space for these shadow parts of us, not even like necessarily like they're anything bad, just different sides of us that we don't usually try on. Can naturally come out more when we are in this like role play. That's just like what I'm feeling like might, why it might be so powerful. Maybe you can share like how your own experience of archetypal play has helped you to have maybe epiphanies and downloads and see new parts of yourself and how you relate sexually.
Yeah, well, a lot of things, you know, really, and I would say, you know, that's, a, I mean, you know, when we talk about a shadow, like you find, you know, what's under the bed, you might find something that is hidden that you didn't know you left there or whatever else. So it doesn't necessarily need to be like triggering and we're going to go into all the, you know, stuff. It can be really exciting, you know, and finding like, oh, I really like being in a, you know, dragon suit and going around and, you know, terrorizing people as a dragon or whatever else. So I think that that is, you know, what makes it, you know, life worth living in a way is being able to live larger than yourself and kind of live in this dreamlike state. And for me, what was really interesting, and exactly this note, well, first of all, the original name of the stack was Erotic Archetype. So it was very explicit from the beginning. But I found that, you know, my own sexual experiences became more and more surrealistic, basically, the type of things where I kind of came and everything kind of fell in place in very particular ways and order that I never could have anticipated. And then even beyond that, you know, when I get into the kind of later sequences of the deck, it became like more or less like this extended kind of surrealistic kind of objects, but with this really fascinating kind of like mathematical sort of precision that accompanied, you know, with certain ratios, kind of like Salvador Dali paintings. I kind of felt like I was increasingly living inside of some kind of Salvador Dali painting, but a more like 21st century kind of, you know, metaverse infused version of all of that. So it's really, and it's put me in touch with just amazing, really, really interesting artists and people as well, that I think somehow it's part of this sort of deep artistic creative process where you really start kind of like these things start coming up and almost, you know, having their own form and reality to them. So I don't know, I'm just very grateful for the process, frankly. I mean, and obviously it's kind of going through the journey of basically building a deck is, in a way, going through all of these things and experiencing them, you know, so that other people can experience them.
I want to check out this deck, I would love to hear about, well, two things came up. One, Elfina, I love that you brought up the archetypes. Perfectly cued, right on time. I was working this morning with Kali energy, and then I went to go pull a card and Kuan Yin came through, and I was like, oh my God, like this is the duality of compassion, right? And kindness. Like Kuan Yin is this soft, compassionate archetype, and Kali is this like sharp, discerning archetype of the same frequency, right? And so it's just interesting how now that I'm working with one side, the other ends up coming through to kind of balance it out. And I'm just able to see it more. I've kind of pulled back the veil. And so it is supportive to be able to connect to these archetypes and say, wow, I see both. I see myself in both of them. Right. And then
oh, Heather's paused.
Yeah, I know.
Well, until she comes back. Yeah, I just wanted to reflect on what you were sharing about not everything in the shadows is like traumatic and triggering and scary. Oftentimes we meet new parts of ourselves in these shadows, like our dragon energy or our, you know, seductress energy or our submissive energy. And I feel like there's so much power that lies in the shadow, and that the more that we explore the shadow, although it can bring up some uncomfortable things underneath, that is like a new level of ownership and sovereignty and self-knowing and just so much radical empowerment that comes through exploring that, because we're meeting parts of new parts of ourself, and we're actually coming into more wholeness and completion and fulfillment in ways that we didn't even know that we desired because we didn't even know they were there. And then we like have this reunion with more of ourselves the more that we go into them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Taoist, fundamentally, and I love other traditions as well, but the Taoism, loves water basically, and the water, is in the mountain, it draws in the valley, it flows the valley. Who fights water? Like, there's no point in fighting water. You can't fight water. You're like, it's just like water is there, it's kind of there, and it's a similar concept here. You talk about being submissive, submissive is when you kind of have no attack surface, right? There's nothing to hit. What are you gonna do? Punch me in the, wallet? I don't even care about money, So, what is your attack vector? What are you doing? And I think many people who really understand the art of being submissive, kind of have the same thing too, where it's like I can fit into any role and I can kind of be there, and I can be there as long as I want to be there as well. That's really the amazing thing that people don't appreciate about, who aren't really kind of familiar with the art of being submissive, is that you're there for the role as long as it gives you pleasure, and then when it doesn't, you just walk away from it. And that's not true for most people who sit in an office. It's not true for most people who are, out sitting in a, in the Senate right now. That they're like, they may have a seemingly a lot, but they can't like walk away from it in the same way. And I think that's also really kind of an art form of kind of, and you can own all of those things, as much as you enjoy them and find yourself empowered by them, or not, So.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see if Heather can join back. She lives in Tulum and sometimes the internet connection isn't the best there. But
Her eyebrows are moving now.
I'm here. I've been here.
Oh,
What's up?
wonderful.
You see
She
me?
rose from the shadow. She died and here she's
We were
reborn.
talking
Heather,
about
I've risen
Tony.
like a phoenix to the ashes.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I went to the density and to the underworld and now I'm back. Missed you guys.
I'm curious to hear you, Sven, share some of the most powerful archetypes that you've worked with, or maybe some archetypes that you created in your deck, and
Yeah.
to give people some inspiration of trying new archetypes on for themselves.
Yes, that was my question before I went into the underworld. This is great. I'm glad that we're
Well,
down there and you're the transmission.
I know this probably isn't what you were going to anticipate me saying, but I'm going to hold up this one, which is a rebirth card, and you can
It's
probably tell
really
it.
hard to see. It's like really blurry. Maybe if you
It's
pull it
blurry.
back from the camera a little bit.
It's
Yeah,
a
what's
little bit
happening?
challenging anyways, because it's a sort of stained glass representation of a woman's body, and this kind of, onion basically, that is where with the yoni. And it's one of the things I thought was interesting. You're talking about peeling things back, right? The peeling back. And to me, there's this amazing, like, I got this from Pablo Neruda, because poetry stuff, and he talks about how when you unpeel the onion, not only do you have tears, but it's like this whole like opening a cathedral, and there's this incredible like a mystery once you really like peel back all of the layers. And I just think that there's like all this profound things that are in these small things in nature that we just kind of look past, and then when we really like dig into it, then it like opens up this whole other world. So my biggest archetype, in a way, is in finding the mystery in the small things that everyone else, when they're looking for the big things, just kind of forgot. And then often it's kind of unhappy, basically saying who has the tallest skyscraper, whatever it is, when you can find this incredible mystery in the olive oil and how it was squeezed, and the tender care that went into it, and all these other really deep kind of textural things. And another thing that I think is profound, that is also, I'm wearing this a scent that is a custom scent that some people made for me called Forbidden Fruit. And I think there's this incredible wealth in this like sensory, kind of world as well, and the smells and things like that, that often I've noticed from different people. Seems to one of the most potent ways of actually carrying over things from different kind of dream-like states is actually through scents. So there's all these things I think that are out there that people, it's like kind of similar, exactly what you said in shadow words. People aren't looking in the place, and then they just kind of look over it. You don't see it. It's kind of been there the whole time, but you just have to kind of be aware that it's there. So that's the, in some ways, the most exciting thing. I could talk about, other archetypes too, but I guess one that maybe is here that is kind of has a cool story because it was actually a really big thing, and you mentioned it a few times about, being a man and this kind of sex magic or whatever. And you have this legacy of people who came before you too, like I'm quite familiar with them. I've kind of read, about all the Mathers and Crowley and all these different people, JPL, and it's kind of interesting, and it's also kind of troubled history of like people who try to articulate some of these things, go all the way back to Egypt and their own kind of challenging things. And so in this one, I kind of needed, in this thing, I wanted to have a picture of manhood, right? And well, it's again a little bit maybe hard to see, but small. But I put it on, Twitter at the time, and started going in the circular, trying to see what was the image that I would use. And I found it really challenging, honestly. It was like very, because you want to capture, some kind of like archetypal energy, or what does a new version of manhood look like, and all of these other things. And it's like, then you look at a bunch of different artists, a bunch of different renderings of it, kind of really trying to engage. I was fortunate in a sense because I was one of the very early people who was behind some of these new ways of registering digital art. So I got to know a lot of artists through that, and so I can kind of usually get a lot of responses, but it was a really, really challenging thing. And eventually I just came across this image, and it's sometimes, hard to express. That's why I love being in the artistic realm, because sometimes describing something doesn't do it justice, but and it almost takes away from it. But I don't know if you can see, but this person has kind of like a double halo effect, and he's sort of like sitting on a cloud, and it's almost like these different kind of lights are kind of like coming through him. And I don't know, and interesting enough, it doesn't say men or manhood or whatever else. It says awakening, on the card. So, it's kind of like awakening to maybe a higher version of yourself that is a little bit less worried about, what's going on in Earth 1.0, and a lot more concerned about, everything else that, is there in the larger potential of what we could be doing, and and enjoying the ride too. I think it's kind of like I always love cherubs. It's funny, I get banned. I'm sure many people from your social circles get banned from social media for having, like, the wrong part of the body showing. I'm quite familiar with this, but from having, art on Instagram and things. But the one that I got in trouble with recently for the most is posting pictures of cherubs, because I love, cherubs and little like angelic beings and the pictures of them and all of that. And I got banned from like three different dating things and whatever else. They're like, "You have nudity in your picture." I'm like, I'm sitting in front of painting from the 16th century of a cherub, okay? In fact, I have one right up here, but behind me I have a little
So
cherub,
preposterous. This whole
So silly.
this is a collective shadow. No, because it's like it's funny and it's comical, right? But on the other side, it's absolutely preposterous. It's ridiculous and it's a shadow. Like one of my friends who has a son was at the beach with him. He's like 3 or 4. And he was topless, he's at the beach, he had his like bathing suit on, and they got banned for nudity. Like she got banned from Instagram for nudity for having a picture with her and her son at the beach. And I was like, wait, this doesn't even make actual, like we're going too far in the pendulum. Like how do we get back? Let's like wheel it back a bit. Cherubs. Cherubs, you're
I
such a
like that's a fun archetype, cherubs, and then like a higher self archetype. I mean, these archetypes are interesting because I was expecting, like the traditional archetypes people talk about, but the way that you even talk about archetypes, the way that your mind thinks about them, feels really different and interesting. So thank you for sharing. And we have about 5 to 10 minutes left of the conversation, so I can't believe it's already gone by so fast. But I just want to give you a chance then to share anything else that's coming through, as well as Heather, if you have another final question for him to ask. And yeah, what you want to leave these listeners with around sex magic, really.
I just want to share gratitude. I don't have any specific question coming through. Although I'm looking forward to staying in touch with you, I find you to be like a really fascinating creature with a lot of really interesting information circulating in your orbit. And I'm really grateful that you were able to come on the show today and share the art of you and all that that entails. So that's my piece.
Yeah, and that like sex magic doesn't have to be this methodical formula to follow, that it can really be so personalized and creative and an artist masterpiece, essentially. And there's so many nuances and ways to approach it. And my mind is really, all these wheels are starting to turn from this conversation, because I feel like you just took something in the material world and you kind of brought it to this like cosmic level. Yeah. And so maybe like my last question for you, Sven, is yeah, if someone is listening and they want to really take their sex magic practice to the next level, what is your advice for doing so?
Well, I think it's been the theme of this conversation, is the kind of shadow work side, but not in dwelling on it. And I think this is one of the amazing things about sex, in a way, in general, is that there's all this, multi-dimensional orgasmic potential that can kind of unfold and be on top of it. And that if you can pair these things together, where, hey, look, we have some stuff that's, maybe we're not proud of, or things we did, tendencies or whatever else, that all come to the surface, but then, let this orgasmic potential kind of flow through it. And I think this was, in a way, like the original idea of psychotherapy, and Sigmund Freud is basically this, like, look, we have all this stuff, it's kind of down here, we're looking here, God, 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 but actually it's kind of inside of us, and it's really motivating a lot we do. And we've taken this a little bit, to the next level, really getting in the somatic things, but I don't think we've gone far enough. In a way, we have to go back into that world, but that really structuring things for our own bliss and fun, and you mentioned it, this cosmic potential behind it, is really the ultimate package, and we have to, be open to that, really. But I think if we set ourselves on a journey in that direction, I mean, we're gonna basically, we're gonna get there. It's gonna be a lot more fun than whatever else we're doing too. So I'm like a huge believer in, don't make your life more painful or miserable than it needs to be. There's enough things that come in, that maybe will be unpleasant, but you should set yourself up for success, and this is no difference. And shake things up a little bit. You mentioned people getting stuck in patterns. It's like, the same tantra spiritual circles, like over and over again, you're gonna be doing ecstatic dance for like the next century, But I'm not saying that as someone who doesn't like ecstatic dance, but I'm just saying, like, you gotta do something,
Oh,
different
man.
once in a while,
So the moral of the story is just do something different than what your regular practice is, and you're sure to uncover something new that will elevate your
I think,
experience.
yeah, exactly, yeah. And if people want to kind of go down this sort of, deck process and kind of use that as a thing, I think that's really great. It's been very powerful for me, and getting to this kind of, cosmically, interwoven kind of, state. So I'm
I love that
Yeah.
idea of like using your deck. I mean, your deck is so beautiful, and just like really using any deck that you have to also like guide your experience of like what is the energy that I can connect to during this sex magic practice today? What archetype is here for me to explore? And
And there
this leads, yeah, this segues into, I would love for you to share about your offerings, and then also whatever you're going to say now, but also like share your offerings, your deck, how people can, that are listening, can find you and work with you and buy your deck and all of that.
Yeah, so touchmedeeply.com and touchmedeeply on Instagram. So that's the easiest place to kind of get a hold of me or the decks or anything like that. Really, I'm engaged in a lot of different kind of artistically driven kind of projects. And I think I mentioned, I'm working with some of these leading, tantric massage therapists to kind of bring in all the tuning and melodies. And I have like these specific oils for different chakras to kind of build the fullest experience there. So that's always something I'm excited to engage around. And the thing I was going to bring up here too, just as a plug, I mean, in a way of things that go well with the deck, I love using this Healing Waters deck, which is one of Rebecca Campbell's one, along with it, because I find that, the erotic, can be very powerful, but it also sometimes it's kind of like, you got to ride these waves and kind of let it flow. So I find that certain kind of other decks really pair well together. Yeah, this is one of my favorite things to kind of bring alongside of it. So.
Yeah, it's like bringing the eroticism maybe in your deck is more connected with that sacral energy, and then maybe Rebecca's deck, I have a deck of hers, and it's like feels more heart and crown. So you're able to kind of like bring that experience full circle, and like you're saying, that wave up and down the chakra, so we're not just getting stuck in one chakra.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I just feel like, oh, what were you gonna say, Sven?
I was just agreeing. Yeah, I think that's really important, that we don't get stuck, that's the thing. I really think you'd be stuck if you spend too much time just on that,
Unstuck yourself. Unstuck yourself. And yeah, what's coming through on this grant, like through everything that we're sharing, it's like I ask myself the question and then I'm down to wrap. You might be hearing a cat. There's a cat. So like what you're hearing is true. Is kind of like, why are we doing all of this, right? Like, what's the point? And what just kept coming through is like, we're here to fall in love with ourselves, right? And like the path of shadow work is to integrate and fall in love with all the pieces and elements of us, right? Not to like shame or cut or dismiss or oppress, but to really like welcome in and embrace and find beauty in everything. So that's my final message. For this topic. And yeah, I'm gonna let the cat just do its thing now.
Well, thank you again, Sven. This conversation has been revolutionary and inspiring, to say the least. And this just puts a nice bow on this topic of sex magic that we've been in now for a while and going out with a bang. And yeah, thank you for being here, Heather. And thank you, each and every one of you who is listening, who's watching, who's tuning into this conversation. We truly would not be here without you. And from the bottom of our hearts, from Cis Society, we're very grateful for any way that you can continue to support our mission. So if this conversation resonated with you, supported you in any way, we really encourage you to like, subscribe, share this message so we can continue to expand the heartbeat of Cis Society with the world. And you can catch all these replays on our YouTube and our Instagram at Cis Society World, under Taboo Talk. And yeah, continue following the conversation as we continue to dive into the shadow. And remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it. We'll see you next week for another episode.